Recording is on.
Recording is on. Great. So we're going through quickly the IP notes. Anyone can participate in this calls, but if you are a contributor, you need to be a member of the Credentials Community Group and sign IPR agreements. Those are linked in our emails with the agenda. Call notes. We are recording, if possible, this meeting, and there will be minutes of everything that is said, and we archive those online for later review. And to queue up speakers, we preferably use either you can raise your hands or add Q plus in the chat, and that will queue you up. And when we call you out, you can contribute. So thank you very much for that. Now, moving to introductions and reintroductions. We have about 30 participants, some of which here are never been with us. So anyone willing to introduce themselves at this moment?
Hello, everyone. My name is Enrico Simon, and I'm interested in these topics. And Simone gave me the opportunity to join the meeting. So thanks, Simone. I work for Elastic, the company behind Elasticsearch, but I'm interested for these topics more about my teaching activities, because I'm a professor at ETS ICT Piemonte in Italy. That's it.
It's great to have you here, Enrico. Thanks for joining us. Let me throw it over to Jeff from Turing Certs.
Great. Thank you, Simone. I'm Jeff from Turing Certs. We're based in Taiwan and Tokyo, so mostly serving, like governments and schools based in the, East Asia. And the reason why we are here is because, I had a call with, Sharon Liu from the FF Labs, and she said, oh, because we are doing the reviewable credential for quite a few, like 120 schools in Asia. We should be joined and become a part of the committee. So I'm really glad to meet you all and, wish to collaborate with you and use the same protocol and standard for the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And thanks for joining us from, such a different time zone here. I think we have a pretty good coverage, and I love the fact that we have more and more newcomers joining the group that are located outside of North America, and so that probably balances out our representation here. That's great. Anyone else that wants to introduce themselves or reintroduce themselves, please do so now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie Crea. I work with Sharon at JFF Labs. I just started the team last week, so I'm sitting in to see everything that I can learn. And thank you so much for letting me join the meeting today.
Absolutely. Please join us in the next few weeks, too. All right. Great. So I want to review the main topics of the agenda today and then share with my co-chairs and contributors today the rest of the meeting. As you may have seen from our agenda, we want to do a couple of things today. The first one is to provide space to answer any questions that you may have around the Interoperability Plugfest number 2 that we've been planning. The other is to go through a bit of a review, high-level review of the main protocols that will be involved in the Plugfest. So, with that said, I'd say we could start with the Ask Me Anything session of today's call. To do that, I'd like to ask Sharon, who's been nominated a couple of times already before, to join me here in taking any questions that you may have across, you know, logistics or more content related, anything really. The idea is that we're going to capture these questions. I'm going to drop a link in the chat right now, which is a Google Doc that we started to capture any questions that you may not feel comfortable in asking directly or that you want to be traced. So that should be a support. Hello, Sharon. How are you today?
Good morning, Simone. I am here. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. So today is a really exciting day. I am going to drop a link into the chat as well. Thank you to Carrie, who stood up this website super fast this morning for us. But this is a project page off of the main VC Edu work sort of project page that will be where we hold all of the information about the second Plugfest. And it has some of the initial FAQs that we started off with based on some of the questions that have been asked previously. And so what I'm going to do right now is sort of walk through this document very quickly and then leave it open for some additional questions. And I know that Simone has a document for you if you're too shy to ask your question, but hopefully you're not too shy because this is a low-key kind of just ask anything because you'll want to know the answer situation. So what I wanted to say is that we are opening the participation for our second Plugfest, and many of you on this call were able to participate in the first Plugfest, and so we are excited that you are coming back for more, and definitely please continue to share with us like feedback on logistically how we can coordinate this better. So we are opening it today, and the form is a Google form that is linked in the webpage as well. And the participation will be open until noon Eastern on Friday, September 9th. That gives you a whole month to think about if you want to participate, how you want to participate, and the answers to some potentially tricky questions on the form. And then by Monday, September 12th at 11 Eastern, which is this weekly call, we will have notified all of the participants about whether or not they're in. Mostly we will just be reviewing some of the information that you sent on that spreadsheet on the Google form and probably notifying people on an ongoing rolling basis, but definitely cut off that we'll let you know is by September 12th, because at that point we will need to start doing some real work. You will also find on that website a list of our tentative schedule. September 14th is going to be when we kick off the cohort. This is going to be a really fun kickoff. I think that, I don't know. I had fun last time, but maybe that's just me. And then we will try a regular cadence of meeting every 2 weeks. On the form, I did ask, this is a lesson learned from last time, what is your time zone that you prefer meeting? So hopefully we'll coordinate times that work for everyone, or either split the groups, or we will try to make this a little bit more palatable for people across a range of time zones. Tentatively, we have final demo videos due on November 9th ahead of demo day, which is November 14th. The Monday before IIW starts in California, so hopefully we'll see some of you in person. And again, the logistics of a virtual and in-person event, would love your thoughts and feedback on if you participated the first time, what we can do better for the next time. So generally, this Plugfest builds on our previous one. In Plugfest 1, we invited wallet implementers to display a verifiable credential in their wallet. We're upping the stakes this time, and we're saying that not only do you have to display one verifiable credential in your wallet, but you have to display two that are not issued by yourself. And in addition, we've opened it up for any credential issuing platform to participate as well, because we want to iterate towards using real credentials, that are in a live production environment. That's the general overview of it. And I think that what I'll say is, before I tee it up for the rest of the conversation, is that we are not going to choose for you how to issue the credentials. You have three options of how to issue the credentials. You can issue them in the VC API CHAPI format, the OpenID Connect, as well as DIDCOM Presentation Exchange. You pick how you want to, as a wallet, receive the credential, and issuers can pick how they would like to issue. So we're not going to dictate. We're going to let this be sort of a how does the market look in education and workforce right now, and follow that. And I think the other thing, the final thing I'll say is if you did not participate in PlugFest 1, no problem. We welcome you to PlugFest 2 anyway. We did have a section in the forum for you to provide some additional information for us. Essentially, we will ask you to also demonstrate that you can hold a verifiable credential in your wallet. We will issue it to you to any DID that you let us know what it is. And in any format that you want. But that will be your ticket in, is that you have to demonstrate that your wallet can do that. So I think that's the general overview, and I will kick it over to anyone for questions if there are any, or I don't know if Simone, Carrie, if I missed anything.
I think that's a great overview, Sharon. Thank you very much. I'm checking in the chat if anyone has questions on your intro. Again, so if you do have questions, Q plus in the chat or raise your hand, and we'll give you the floor. Otherwise, so Khalil was asking for links. We'll drop them again there, for sure. So, I mean, obviously today we definitely want to focus on PlugFest. If, you know, people are still shy or thinking about the questions that they may have, given that what you said, Sharon, is that there is going to be possibly three main ways of issuing these credentials, depending on the protocols that you decide to use, it probably would be good for us to now review those protocols. And I'm sure that that may create questions that we can go back and address. But before we do that, Carrie, over to you.
Thanks. There was just one thing that I don't think Sharon mentioned, is which is that as with PlugFest 1, with PlugFest 2, we are encouraging all of this work to happen out in the open. So we are going to be using the mailing list, and we can have calls at VC Edu. And basically what we're hoping is that your participation in the PlugFest will help inform the ecosystem so that others can learn about how all of this works. So just keep that in mind if you're deciding if you're going to participate or not.
Thanks, Gary. Okay, so maybe I'd like to invite Dimitri to join us here on stage. And Dimitri, maybe we can fly over the three protocols. What do you say?
All right, that sounds good. Here, let me post a link to the slides in the chat. Give me just 1 second. All right, so here are the slides, and I'm also going to share my screen. So, and then we can start. Before we get into it, are there any general questions about the upcoming PlugFest?
I think you can go right into the protocols review, Dimitri. I'll collect some of them and bring them up to you.
Sounds good. And if you don't mind, I can't quite easily see the chat. So if somebody has a question as we go, please let me know. And
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll get started. All right. So let's go over some of the issuing protocols, and let's go over what we mean by that and why it's important. The context is, although these are things, if you're working with verifiable credentials, that your team should be familiar with in general, and you need to make these decisions as part of your overall strategy in general. Today we're going to talk about specifically the context of the Jobs for the Future Foundation, PlugFest number 2. So PlugFest number 1 focused on demonstrating interoperability of displaying the credentials. The requirements were, get a VC into a wallet somehow, and then let's demonstrate that we recognize how to display the credential, how to display the various fields in it, and so on. this upcoming one is actually going to be focusing on that getting into the wallet somehow. The idea here is we want to demonstrate and we want to encourage in the ecosystem interoperability between issuers and wallets. We want to demonstrate that any issuer can get a verifiable credential into any compatible wallet, to any wallet that speaks the protocol, and vice versa. So what kind of, what's the user story here? What do we mean by that? The really simple use case that we're trying to demonstrate interop for should be familiar to everybody here in this group. Learner has completed a course, they're eligible to receive a credential from the issuing institution. Now, how do we get that credential into the user's possession, into a wallet? Similarly, if you are, and this is a very, the second one is a very real use case, being implemented right now by McMaster University in Toronto, and I think we have the architect of that use case on the call here, but university issues digital diplomas in verifiable credential format. Okay, so how do we get that diploma into the user's possession? So the focus is preventing vendor lock-in, because again, if one party controls both the issuing platform and the wallet, there's no need for standardization, right? They can somehow transfer the credential or just keep it on their servers in their database. The reason we're all here for the verifiable credential, self-administered ecosystem is so that we can decouple, the individual players, offer user choice in where to keep their credential, and offer, make it easier for, acquisition on the part of learning institutions, so that prevents from vendor lock-in and all that stuff. Okay. A couple of things to notice here. We're specifically focusing on issuer to wallet interop. The implicit claim here is that unlike previous iterations of technologies, like let's say PDF files or Word documents or Excel spreadsheets, we as a community have achieved the consensus that in order to get the full use out of verifiable credentials, we're going to need to support some fairly difficult new operations. Meaning we can no longer treat verifiable credentials as just files, right? If we were talking about PDFs, like I've received a diploma on PDF, or or a Word document, or any other such credential, you can always say, the user can just download it into their computer or into their phone and just store it with the other files. And then later, when presenting to the verifiers, they can upload the credential to the verifier. And we're not saying that's impossible. That's still a valid workflow. And in fact, the bridging between the printed page, like printed certificates, and digitally signed credentials is going to be important. McMaster University, that we're talking about the second use case about digital diplomas, is also exploring ways with, you know, in conjunction with VC Edu and the Digital Credentials Consortium, is exploring ways of basically being able to have PDFs and printed certificates and also at the same time binding them to verifiable credentials. But that is a topic for another call. What we're saying here, what I'm trying to say in so many words, is as a community, we've decided wallets are important. Why? Because the whole point of verifiable credentials is that they're verifiable, meaning there's going to be public and private key pairs involved. We're going to ask the users to prove control of their private keys. We're going to ask the users to authenticate themselves. There are more complicated protocols than, can you present me with this file?
Dimitri, just a second. I have a couple of questions here.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll let Phil ask the question and then Marty. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. Dimitri, hi. You mentioned that you're looking at this particular Plugfest at issuer to wallet interop. And I'm just wondering, is issuer inclusive of what we typically think of as an issuing platform, issuing to a digital wallet, as well as another wallet as an issuer issuing directly to a second different wallet?
Yes. Yes. Great question. Great question. And in fact, that question is at the heart of some of the debate in the community and some of the differences in approaches. Yes. Credential community and VC Edu in general strongly suspect that wallets or wallet applications will evolve to play multiple roles, not only receiving and presenting credentials and holding credentials for the user, but some of the wallets will be able to be used as issuer platforms themselves, helping users create self-issued credentials on any sort of claims, helping users create endorsements, which is, I know, a topic near and dear to your heart. And in addition, we're also seeing that most wallets are evolving a verifier aspect as well. At very least, when getting a verifiable credential into the user's wallet, wallet vendors want to give the courtesy feature of, let's make sure that we verify the credential to spare the user embarrassment down the line. If we didn't show the verification status in the wallet, user could receive an invalid wallet, and later on when they're, user could receive an invalid credential, and later on when they're presenting it to a verifier, it would be rejected. So to sort of front run that, we also build verifier functionality into wallets, in addition to the issuer functionality, which is what you asked about. So yes. And what was your second question? Issuer platform? Yes. Whenever we say issuer here in this discussion, we generally mean issuing platform, which typically means some sort of learner management system. We're using it in the broad term.
Thank you. Marty, do you want to ask a question yourself?
Sure. So, Dimitri or Carrie, are we basically going to use like the Plugfest 1 credential as kind of the base credential for this exchange, or is that changed or matured in any way for Plugfest 2?
Great question. Great question. I think that's still in discussion. I think we are using that credential as a starting basis.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then a follow on question on the verifier requirement or verifier. I noticed there's, you know, display components around displaying the credential itself, but will there be any display requirements around the verification?
Not this one. We're loosely planning to have the third Plugfest focus on verification.
Great, thank you.
Carrie has a question too.
Please go ahead.
It had to do with Marty's question about what we're going to use for the credential. So we can use, we have another one for Plugfest 2 that we can use that is similar. But also, I think that it might be okay if people want to issue their own Open Badges 3.0 credentials, and they don't have to necessarily use that one. So stay tuned for that, but I think that's where we've been leaning. Because some folks may want to actually just start implementing Open Badges 3.0 as part of Plugfest 2.
Thanks, Carrie. Yeah, so the payload is going to be Open Badges 3.0 formatted. We're going to provide an example credential that you can use to issue, similar to previously. It can be an achievement stating that this wallet supports the credential from this issuer, or something like that. The exact payload and format of the credential, given that it is a Open Badge version 3, is going to be part of the discussion with your interoperability partners. So one of the key tasks for us in organizing this PlugFest is to get a cohort of issuing platforms that speak the relevant protocols and pair them up with wallet vendors, wallet implementers who speak the same protocols. And so there's going to be some negotiation of, okay, what, given that we're supporting this protocol, what's the credential going to look like? Which DID methods we were supporting, which key types, and so on. Any other questions before we move on?
No, go ahead, Dimitri. The queue is
active. Dimitri, I want to add one more if I could.
Go ahead.
Yes, are you going to ask at all as part of the submission anything about that?
One second. We're getting
that
a
was
lot
Phil
of...
Long, I think. Phil, I think your mic was had a filter on, and so we couldn't really hear that. You may want to check the mic or maybe drop the question in the chat. Thank you.
I'll drop it in chat.
Unless you've asked your robot.
Yeah, it's we're getting an echo in addition to the distortion, so it's almost impossible to hear.
Yeah, meanwhile, I Carrie dropped the current spec, which is in candidate final for Open Badges 3, and it would be lovely to see some, you know, real or more real examples of OB3 designed and issued for this PlugFest. So while we'll you know, provide one, definitely there is flexibility to, you can use your own. Carrie, anything to add? Go ahead.
I only just want to make one slight clarification to what you said, Simone, which is that it's not actually in candidate release yet. It's under security review right now, and it is scheduled to be in candidate release, I think, right around the time of the demo day. Hopefully soon we can have some folks on from OneEdTechOrg to talk about, like maybe the chairs or something of the groups, to talk about Open Badges 3.0 and review where it's at right now. It's slightly different than what we used for PlugFest 1, because there are some changes made. So that's why I put the link to the spec there. So you're still going to be ahead of the game, but it shouldn't be changing very much between now and November. So it's very close to candidate release.
How's this? Is this better?
Yes, that's better.
All right, so the question I stuck in chat as well. Are you going to be asking the various participants anything about how they're going about the rendering of the information from received into a wallet? And the question stems from the interest that I know is growing about trying to think about standardizing the way rendering of credential data is done, and I'd be curious to know how people are choosing to do that with the a subtext of is there a common approach that's just emerging from the community in general?
Great question. So not for this PlugFest. We're likely that's going to be an important topic in a future PlugFest, but you're absolutely right. Being able for an issuer to recommend or even dictate how a credential is displayed is very useful. And there's, so for example, one of the papers in the upcoming Rebooting Web of Trust by Manu Sporny and several others is going to be focusing on the display portion, the display suggestion in a verifiable credential for downstream wallets. But that is just a beginning conversation. Several standards bodies, several sort of implementer groups have done initial prototypes and have just started talking about it. But it hasn't been standardized yet. We're not really ready to test for interop in that regard. So no, that's not something that we're focusing on in this one. Although we are, much like in the previous PlugFest, we are expecting that the credential is displayed. And that several of the key fields, same ones as from previous one, is displayed. Like the issuer, if there's a badge image, we expect that to be available somehow, and so on, right? So we're not yet as advanced as describing how it's going to be displayed, but we do expect it to be displayed. So hopefully that answers the question. All right, so.
Dimitri, go ahead.
That's great.
Thank you, yeah.
So let's zoom in on what it means in getting a verifiable credential into a wallet. There are several steps, some of which will be, all of which are necessary, but some of them are standardized, others are not. So let's talk about which ones we're focusing on in this PlugFest. So generally, you want to notify the learner that they're eligible for a credential. That part is not really standardized at the moment. Essentially, we're expecting you to send an email or text message or any of the other million ways of communicating over the internet. Wallet selection is a problem. Now that the user knows they have to go pick up their diploma or that their course completion credential, guiding them towards, figuring out that they need a wallet to start with, and then getting that wallet. And then if they have multiple wallets, which is what we're all hoping for in this ecosystem, how to get them to select which wallet they're receiving it into is one of the main challenges. So we're going to talk about that in a bit. But so getting a credential into a wallet requires wallet selection. Then, and this is where the protocols come in, you have to let the issuer connect with the wallet. You have to either let the wallet know, here's the issue over there, let's go talk to them, or vice versa. You have to let the issuer know, okay, this is my wallet, you two talk to each other. Step four is really important. There are use cases when issuing a verifiable credential that you don't need user authentication. Like when you're getting bearer credentials, think the classic example of a movie ticket, in like a paper ticket in previous pre-plague, movie theaters. The important part is that you paid, you handed a ticket, your name and your identity, you were not authenticated, as part of getting that ticket, right? It's a bearer credential. And so, however, for this PlugFest, because it is an important use case that we want addressed and standardized in the community, we are going to be requiring user authentication. In a lot of platforms, that authentication is in two parts. Usually, the learner already has a record in the learner management system. Right? They're enrolled in the course. They're enrolled in the university. They have some sort of login. And so a lot of issuing systems require that before we hand you over anything, you at least got to authenticate to our systems. We have to know what your user ID is. And then in addition, the verifiable credential community is offering, or rather is requiring an additional step of, okay, yes, now that the learner credential system knows that I'm Dimitri and my user ID is 12345 in their database, we're also requiring issuers to allow learners to bring their own identifier, to bring their own DID, to say, okay, you know me as user ID 12345, but please issue this credential to the following decentralized identifier. The ability to do that is key to the whole VC ecosystem interop. So although both user authentication and DID authentication is technically optional in issuing protocols, we are going to make it required for this PlugFest because it is such an important use case in the education ecosystem.
Dimitri, Manu has a question in the chat. Manu, go ahead. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Simone. So speaking about DID auth, I think one of the challenges over the next 6 or 8 months is going to be that we're like actively standardizing crypto suites and things related to that. And so I think we're going to have to be, I know that you said it's optional, but some people are going to do it. I think one of the challenges we're going to have is honing in on, okay, so like which DID method in which crypto suites? Because if we don't get that locked in early on, then it's going to be hard for people to develop certain things. I'll note that just this past weekend, a very detailed kind of outline of how DID authentication as it works in the VP request spec is done. So there's a pull request there that kind of outlines it. But even if we were to follow, and it's a pretty simple protocol, but even if we were to follow that, you know, my suggestion is like, let's just, for this PlugFest, say it's going to be DID key, and then try to hone in on which crypto suite we're going to use. I think we need to actively discuss that as a community sooner than later. That's it.
Thanks, Manu. That's a great point. We definitely expect that discussion to happen, and we will have it both as part of these calls and on the mailing list. You're absolutely right. If we're going to demonstrate DID auth interop, people at least need to know which DID methods we're supporting, which key suites. So, and DID key is a great candidate to do it because it's generally one that everybody supports. Although we would want to, if it turns out that we have a significant wacky DIDCOM and Hyperledger indie portion of the group, they may or may not be able to support DID key, right? That they may have to require Hyperledger indie compatible DIDs for that, and we can address that as well. But you're absolutely right. We will need to decide that and specify. So going back to the verification workflow, we've notified learner that they need to go get a credential. We've guided them to select a wallet. We've established the connection. We've performed the user authentication. The protocols typically support a one or more rounds of prerequisite negotiation. And we're not going to focus on that part as part of this PlugFest. That's going to be an advanced topic for later. And then actually transferring the information, the actual raw data of the credential into the wallet. And we're going to talk about that in a bit. So for this PlugFest, we're essentially going to be focusing on steps 3 and 4. And obviously 6, we need to end up with the credential actually transferred. So what are some ways of getting credentials into wallets? We've got a bunch of manual methods, sort of low tech, in quotes, that are more useful to developers than end users, really. So, well, if we treat a credential like a file, which is kind of what I was touching on before, yeah, we know how to get files into applications. And we can get into, all right, so what are the manual methods? Typically, scanning a QR code, inviting the user to scan a QR code, which notice means that requires at least two different devices, one with a screen and then a mobile one that you're scanning with. And the QR code can contain just a regular web URL to a static credential hosted somewhere. Or in some cases, if the credential is small enough, it can be embedded into the QR code fully. We can ask the user to paste the raw credential source code, or we can say, okay, open it from your file system, from your desktop or from your phone's files. So these manual methods is typically how a wallet implementer start out with. They're easy to implement. They don't address the problem of wallet selection. They don't really support user authentication as part of the protocol. Now, some of them handle user authentication out of band, meaning it's only after you log in to your Canvas instance or your other learner management system instance, and the user has authenticated, and then you guide them to the page to pick up the credential. You don't require any other authentication beyond that. You only give them the link to pick up the credential once they're authenticated. And there's pros and cons to that, that we can talk about if people are interested. But there's certainly no notion of in-protocol prerequisite negotiation. And the important part is, though these methods are pretty simple, scanning a QR code, clicking on a link, pasting something into a text box, or presenting a file dialog, they're not standardized at the moment between communities. So widely used, not standardized. In addition to the manual methods, there's a number of emerging issuing protocols, specifically dealing with the interaction between issuers and wallets. They all allow for some sort of DID authentication. And I initially, when preparing the presentation, it used to be that not all of the protocols allowed for multiple rounds of prerequisite negotiation. There is there's a certain amount of co-evolution, and the emerging protocols are learning from each other. So at the moment, all three of the main protocol families have now support multiple rounds of negotiation. So before we get into the actual individual protocols, is there any question on this part?
No question, Dimitri, so far, so you can proceed. Right.
So what are we seeing in the market as of today? We're seeing three major protocol families or protocol camps emerging, and then a bunch of other proprietary to a particular issuer or to a particular ecosystem, so non-standardized ones. So the ones we'll be looking at, the ones we're asking you as issuer providers or wallet providers to pick, is between one of these three. So W3C's Credentials Community Group, of which this VC Edu is a task force, has its own specification called VC API. I encourage everybody to look through it. And although VC API does not require CHAPI or Credential Handler API, the two are often used in conjunction, just because while VC API mostly focuses on, server to server interaction, Credential Handler API also allows, support to get credentials from just the browser, right? So like if a user is, logging into a public terminal at their library, they don't have a secondary mobile device or a hardware wallet or anything like that, they're still able to receive credentials. Also, it turns out that Credential Handler API helped, is very useful in the problem of wallet selection on the mobile side. But anyway, so the first protocol is VC API, which standardizes verifier endpoints, some wallet endpoints, and most importantly for the Splugfest issuer endpoints. Both a low level internal endpoint that we expect is going to be used by the issuer app itself, but also, much more importantly, the external facing exchange endpoint that allows a particular wallet to talk to an issuer and receive the credential, right? So this is an HTTP-based API incubated here in this community, so definitely one you should take a look at. The next one you should take a look at and familiarize yourself is OpenID Foundations. This is the same standards body behind OpenID Connect and a number of related protocols. Has been working on spec that is literally called OpenID for Verifiable Credential Issuance. So it uses the general concepts and reuses some of the syntax, although it adds a lot of new syntax, obviously, from the OpenID Connect authentication protocol. And it uses some of the concepts for receiving credentials because, in a certain way, the authentication process is a narrow, less generalized version of receiving a credential. It's just that the credential you're asking for is the user's username, but still a lot of the pieces are the same. And then lastly, Decentralized Identity Foundation is developing Wacky DIDCOM interop profile, and Wacky, I believe, stands for wallet credential issuance, something like that.
Wallet and credential interaction.
Wallet and credential interaction. Thank you so much, Kalia. So it is a combination of several protocols and data models that, again, allows wallets to request credentials from issuers. Then there's a number of non-standardized or one-off protocols that we leave as user homework. But your task for plug test number two is out of those three, VC API, OpenID for issuing verifiable credentials, or Wacky DIDCOM, pick one, at least one of those protocols. And then within that protocol family, we're going to ask you that if you're an issuer provider, you're going to demonstrate an interop with at least two other wallets that are not developed by you. And similarly, if you're a wallet provider, we're going to ask you to receive credentials from at least two other issuers. And at the moment we are, we would like DID authentication to be required. Now, if that's not possible and you still want to participate, then, speak up on the mailing list, or contact, the JFF team. We should talk about it, but assume that a DID authentication is required. I think that's the sound of a question.
There's a question from David. David, please go ahead. Thank you.
When you say DID authentication, do you mean specifically the DID authentication protocol specified by DIF, or do you mean a way of knowing that you actually are the owner of that DID that you are asserting?
The latter. The latter. It turns out that all three of the protocol families essentially provide a mechanism for demonstrating proof of possession of a DID.
Right. So, that's okay. Yeah.
So whichever protocol you end up going with, use that protocol's method of DID authentication.
Right. Okay. It might be better than if you actually spelled it out as DID proof of possession or something like that, rather than I thought you meant it was the DID auth protocol, right? Not proof of possession. Okay. By the way, I'm still in the situation where none of my comments have been transcribed because of a problem with the system.
That's good to know. And I'm hoping the
changing browsers didn't work actually. So
that's really bizarre.
Yeah.
Okay, we can try to look back into that, David, also the browser issue. I would like to ask Evan to ask the question. Go ahead.
Thanks, Simone. Thanks, Dimitri. Just wanted to bring up that we at Digital Bazaar are putting some tooling together to help explain Chappie.io and also help make it easier for the community to integrate and meet the goals of PlugFest 2 using the Chappie protocol. So Dimitri has a link there, Chappie.io. We'll be adding to that tool over the next few weeks, and if there are any questions, feel free to post them in the GitHub repo or just email either myself or Manu about that. But our goal is to provide tools for this community to use to make it easy for you to experiment with Chappie as an issuing protocol.
Thank you so much, Evan.
Dimitri, just a time check. We're entering sort of in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, so I've got two slides left. Just want a couple of points I want to touch on, and then we'll take some more questions. All right, so which one should you pick for the PlugFest? Partly depends on what general area you're focusing on, whether you're a sort of middleware provider for focusing on machine-to-machine, server-to-server interaction, whether you need to be supporting mobile apps, whether you have the requirement, which is an important accessibility requirement, of being able to support web wallets. The thing I want to point out is that although obviously it's an important engineering investment, in a way the protocols all do essentially the same things. So most of the challenges of existing credential issuers is going to be starting to learn some of the verifiable credential lingo, starting to be familiarized with the protocols, coding up the different steps, the wallet selection, the notification, the negotiation, all that stuff. But once you do that, the effort of supporting another one of the protocols in that main family of three becomes easier. So have your development. We're certainly, as the organizers, are not going to recommend just one protocol. So have your teams look through the specs. Go through the very detailed and very helpful CCG digital wallet protocol analysis that analyzes some of the features of these three protocols. And in general, if you're a wallet provider, start looking, and we're going to provide a list as well. Start thinking about which issuers you're going to demonstrate interoperability with. So if you already have strategic partners, they probably already have invested in a protocol, and so you're probably going to support whatever they do, and vice versa. What are the similarities? There's actually a lot of similarities in all of the protocols. All three of them support kicking off the transfer of credential, either initiated by the user, by the wallet, or initiated by the issuer. Notification is generally out of band. Wallet selection is one of the main challenges in picking a protocol. So it is a one of the reasons to look at, especially if you're supporting mobile or browser workflows, one of the reasons of looking at Chappie.io, as Evan mentioned. Obviously, all of the protocols have some sort of way, some query data model where the wallet can describe which credential it wants to receive. All three of them support DID authentication, and all three of them obviously get the credential into the wallet. What are the differences? As the three protocols are evolving and co-evolving, there's becoming less and less differences between them. So a lot of it has to do with if you're already part of an ecosystem or whatever your strategic partners are. There's still some difference between whether the protocol can support either cross-device flow, like before we mentioned, scanning a credential on the screen, which requires two devices, or supporting the, I only have a mobile device. I want to be able to receive the credential right on that device. So go from notification, go from an email client or a browser into the wallet. And whether or not the protocol support web browsers or server-to-server or peer-to-peer only. So we are almost at the top of the hour. There's room for a couple of quick questions. And obviously, if you have more questions, we'll follow up on the mailing list. So
I think there is room for Manu's last question. Go ahead, Manu.
Just a quick note, there are more differences than this. There has been an enormous amount of discussion kind of behind the scenes in various customer engagements, and we're trying to bring some of that discussion out into the light, into the public, so it can be discussed more openly. We are struggling with the timeline for that, but hope to do that sometime in the next couple of weeks. That's it.
Thanks, Mama.
And Kalia also is on the queue. Please, Kalia.
Yeah, I think this is really excellent work. I co-chair the diff interoperability group that quite frankly has somewhat struggled to figure out what we do and what we do next. But I think this is a really excellent interop effort, and I was actually going to ask if someone would be willing to come and share this work and invite people interested in interop who are hanging out in the interop group waiting for a tap to come and join this for the next, you know, if they're interested for the next few months, because I think it's excellent work.
Thanks, Kalia. And I highly recommend everyone to check out the diff interoperability group and get involved.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks, Kalia, for sure. This is perfect timing, and you know, this is an opportunity to create interop across the different working groups too. So we'll follow up. Exactly.
Great. Thanks.
So thank you very much, Dimitri and Sharon, for sharing more about the PlugFest. We are at the top of the hour, but for sure, we probably did not address all the questions. So anything outstanding, we recommend you can drop in the document that we linked earlier, or just share it in the mailing list. That is the main communication tool that we have and the one that we are going to leverage. We'll make sure to share the resources again in a follow-up email, particularly the new webpage with all the info around the PlugFest number 2. And as always, we'll share an agenda for these weekly calls toward the end of the week. We have a few lined up for the next few weeks. But certainly PlugFest is top of mind for everyone. And thanks to all of you for participating and supporting this work. I think it takes all of us to get it over the line. So lovely to see the community coming together for this interop effort. Okay. So thanks a lot, everyone. I'm going to stop the recording, and we'll see you next week.